Gurave Gurachandraya. Before we speak on Bhagavatam, my revered spiritual master instructed us we should offer particular prayers to Bhagavatam. This takes about 5 minutes, so please be patient.
Narayanam namaskrityam naram shaiva narottamam divyam sarasatim vyasam tato jayam udurayat vedi ramayane shaiva purane bharate tata adavande cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate mukham gururivachalam bangum langayate girim yat kripa tamaham bande Shigurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam.
Grantharashimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text number 50. Please repeat.
Panchavi kurute swatan. Panchavi kurute swatan. Panchavedata panchabihi. Panchavedata panchabihi. Ekastu sodesena trin. Ekastu sodesena trin. Swayam sapta desho snute. Swayam sapta desho snute.
Others?
Panchavi kurute swatan.
Matajis.
Panchavihi.
With the five working senses, voice, arms, legs, anus, and genitals.
Kurute
performs.
Swartan,
his desired interests.
Pancha,
the five objects of the senses, sound, form, touch, aroma, and taste.
Veda
knows.
Atta,
thus,
panchabihi,
by the five senses of perception, hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and feeling.
Ikaha,
the one.
Two,
but.
Sodasena,
by these 15 items and the mind.
Chin,
the three categories of experience.
Happiness,
distress,
and a mixture of both.
Swayam,
he,
the living entity himself.
Saptadasaha,
the 17th item.
Ashnute,
enjoys. Translation. Above the five senses of perception, the five working senses, and the five objects of the senses is the mind, which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who in cooperation with the other 16 enjoys the material world alone. The living being enjoys three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. Please repeat. Above the five senses of perception, the five working senses, and the five objects of the senses is the mind, which is the 16th element. Above the mind is the 17th element, the soul, the living being himself, who, in cooperation with the other 16, enjoys the material world alone. The living being enjoys three kinds of situations, namely happy, distressful, and mixed. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Everyone engages in work with his hands, legs, and other senses just to achieve a certain goal according to his concocted ideas. One tries to enjoy the five sense objects, namely form, sound, taste, aroma, and touch, not knowing the actual goal of life, which is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Because of disobeying the Supreme Lord, one is put in the material conditions, and he then tries to improve his situation in a concocted way, not desiring to follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nevertheless, the Supreme Lord is so kind that he comes himself to instruct the bewildered living entity how to act obediently and then gradually return home back to Godhead, where he can attain an eternal peaceful life of bliss and knowledge. The living entity has a body, which is a very complicated combination of the material elements. And with this body, he struggles alone, as indicated in this verse by the words, Ekas Tu. For example, if one is struggling in the ocean, he must swim through it alone. Although many other men in aquatics are swimming in the ocean, he must take care of himself because no one else will help him. Therefore, this verse indicates that the 17th item, the soul, must work alone. Although he tries to create society, friendship, and love, no one will be able to help him but Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his only concern should be how to satisfy Krishna. That is also what Krishna wants. Sarva dharman parityagya mame kam sharanam braja. People, bewildered by material conditions, try to be united. But although they strive for unity among men and nations, all their attempts are futile. Everyone must struggle alone for existence within the many elements of nature. Therefore, one's only hope, as Krishna advises, is to surrender to Him, for He can help one become free from the ocean of nescience. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore prayed, Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patitammam vishame bhavambudo kripayata vapada pankaja stitaduli sadrisam vichintaya. Quote, O Krishna, beloved son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I've fallen into this ocean of nescience, and although I'm struggling very hard, there's no way I can save myself. If you kindly pick me up and fix me as one of the particles of dust at your lotus feet, that will save me. In a similar way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Anadi karma phale, paribhavarnava jale, taribhari nadeki upai, My dear Lord, I cannot remember when I somehow or other fell into this ocean of nescience. And now I can find no way to rescue myself. We should remember that everyone is responsible for his own life. If an individual becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, he is then delivered from the ocean of nescience. Hare Krishna. Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikaya Sadavaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So before we begin, I'd like to ask a question. How many of you here are chanting 16 rounds a day? Please raise your hand. Okay, most everybody. How many of you here have been chanting 16 rounds for more than 2 years? Raise your hand. Okay. I just want to know who we're speaking to. So, Srila Prabhupada is describing in this purport what self-realization is. Sometimes there are some people who advertise that I can give you siddha pranali, that I can tell you what your sarup is in the spiritual world. Raise your hand. Is there anybody here who would be interested in that? Would you like to know what you are in the spiritual world? Raise your hand. I would like to know. If you would like, I can give you a mantra. I won't even charge anything. I can give you a mantra which will tell you what is your swarup. Would you like to know that? Okay. So I'll sing this mantra and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. This mantra was spoken by Haridas Thakur to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amita adama tumi adama turara bhai identity. Srila Prabhupada says a similar thing in the purport. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam bishame bhavam buro. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in his Bhajan Rahasya that this verse is where our realization of our spiritual form begins. And what is he saying? Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam bishame. I'm fallen in this bishame bhavam buro. This very terrible ocean of material existence. So Haridas Thakur is saying a similar thing. This is who I am. Amita Adama. I'm fallen. That's my swarup. Amita Adama. And I also realize something about Krishna. Amita Adama. To me, Adama Tarana. I'm fallen. And you're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye Sambandhae. Patita Pavan. This is my sambandha. This is my connection with you, my dear Lord. This is the beginning of self-realization. My revered spiritual master, he called this Atma Krandana. Atma Krandana, or the crying of the soul. And Srila Jagannanda Pandit, he speaks about this in his book, Prema Vivarta. We can sing a few verses from this, and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Ami Siddha Krishna Das Ekata Bhule Mayarana Prada. We're eternal servants of Krishna, but we've forgotten that. In Maya and Afar, we've become a servant, a slave of Maya. Haye chiradina bule. Eternally. This is a movie which we're all the star in the movie of. The star of our life. The journey of our life. And Jagadananda Pandit describes this. The word kabu means sometimes. Kabu Raja, Kabu Praja, Kabu Rupa Shudra, Kabu Duti, Kabu Suti, Kabu Kripa Shudra, Hare Krishna. Kabu Sade, Kabu Mate, Nara Deva, Kabu, Kabu Deva, Kabu Daicha, is a scary movie. It's a horror movie. Like one of those kind of science fiction movies maybe you saw before you were devotees. It's about a vacation that never ends. We want to go out. You want to have a chuti, a holiday. But this is a vacation which never ends. And it's not really a very nice vacation. Kabu Raja. Sometimes a jeev, he becomes a king. Very good day. And then Kabu Praja. Sometimes he becomes a citizen. Kabu Vipra Sudra. Sometimes he's a Brahman. Sometimes he's a Sudra. Kabu Duki. Sometimes he's very unhappy. Kabu Suki. Sometimes he's very happy. Kabu Kita Kshudra. Sometimes he's a worm and stool. Kabu Swarge. Sometimes in the vacation of our life, we go to the heavenly planets. Very nice. And Kabu Martye, sometimes we come to this earth planet. Kabu Narake, sometimes we go to hell. Kabu Deva, sometimes you're a demigod. Kabu Daitya, sometimes you're a demon. Kabu Das, a Prabhu. Sometimes you're a servant. Sometimes you're a master. Ehi rupe samsara brahmita kona jam. Sadhu sange nija tattva avadana. Wandering around in unlimited bodies, unlimited births. If by good fortune, brahmita kona jam, someone comes in contact with a saintly person, then sadhu sange nija tattva. He's walking on the street or maybe in the train station in Mumbai and he meets someone and says, hey, take this book. Very nice book. Oh, okay. And this book, nija tattva avagatanahan. And it teaches you who you are. I've been wandering for so long. I don't know who I am. The jiva comes into the material world. The jiva takes birth as a little baby. And it has no concept. The Bhagavatam says its first concept, its first identity is anumoya. I'm hungry. That's who I am. Because we want an identity. Everyone wants an identity in this world. And just like the people who go to the shopping mall, and they buy an identity off the rack. Oh, I think I'd like some nice faded jeans. Levi's jeans. And a cool t-shirt. Then, that's who I am. I'm a cool person. Or maybe I'll buy some leather pants and a leather coat and I'll be a biker. Or maybe I'll buy a suit and tie and I'll be a businessman. Or maybe if I'm a woman, I'll buy a bikini and I'll be a sex goddess. When I was a little boy, my father made a playhouse for us. And inside the playhouse, we had many different costumes. We had a costume like a policeman. We had a costume like a teacher. We had a costume like a housewife. And we would make believe different times. It's like Halloween. But if someone in Halloween, they put on a costume and they really believe, this is me. We call that madness. Mm-hmm. So the living entity in this material world wants to find out who they are. And they're always going to the shopping mall to try to purchase an identity off the rack so I can figure out who I am. In the beginning is anomoya. I'm hungry. That's who I am. And then the next identity they have is, oh, this is my mother. She feeds me. This is my father. They love me. I'm lovable. And then maybe after a little more time, they realize, I'm a little girl. Yes, this is very important. I have to have an identity. Otherwise, you have an identity crisis. It's a big problem. I'm a little girl. I belong to this family. I'm the daughter of Prakash. I'm the daughter of this person and this person. And then after a while, you have other identities. I'm such and such little girl's best friend. That's who I am. And I'm a student. I'm a good student. And then when they get, I don't know, about 12 or 14 years old, I become a goddess. And all the boys, they come and they worship my feet and they follow me around like dogs in the street. Like this. And that's my identity. That's who I am. And then I meet a very special boy. And I get a new upadhi, a new designation. He's my boyfriend. I'm his girlfriend. He's my husband. And then the baby comes. And I'm a mother. But that identity, all those identities are not us. They're all depending upon someone else's existence. She feels like, I'm a mother. But what if the baby dies? Then she has an identity crisis. This is what happened to Arjun in the Bhagavad Gita. In the first chapter, some acharyas, they've titled that first chapter Vishad Yoga, or the Yoga of Lamentation. What was Arjun's problem? He told Krishna, Sinayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Stapaya Me Chuta. Hey, Krishna, chalo, take my chariot in the middle of both armies. I want to see the enemy. Krishna said, yes, very good. I'm your chariot driver. So he drove that chariot in the middle of both armies. And then Krishna did a very interesting thing. Arjun wanted to see the enemy. And Krishna pointed at both armies. He said, here's the enemy, Arjun. What does he mean? The enemy's not Yudhisthira and the Pandavas. The enemy is Duryodhan. They're the bad guys. But Krishna waved at both armies. And acharyas are described that by that, he's indicating the real enemy is not Duryodhan. The real enemy, Arjun, is your bodily conception. And if you want me to be your chariot driver, if you want me to guide the chariot of your life, then this is the enemy. And then what happened to Arjun? He looked and he saw, oh my God, Bhishma Dev, my grandfather, is there wanting to fight with me. And Dronacharya, my teacher, and so many other well-wishers and friends, my relatives. He said, Krishna, I can't fight. And what did he do? The Bhagavad Gita speaks about suicide. It begins on that premise. He said, I can't fight. He put his weapons down. Better they kill me. That's suicide. Why? What was his crisis? His crisis was a crisis of upadhis, identification. If I kill my grandfather, if I kill my teacher, I'm going to lose part of myself. I'm going to lose part of my identity. This is me. And this is what happens to the mother in our story. If her baby dies, then a part of her dies, a part of her identity. Because we don't know who we are. And we're always looking for some identity. So we go to the shopping mall to buy an identity off the rack. But it's never satisfying. And after some time, we want some other identity. Because none of them are really us. These upadis, they lead to violence. And they're not symptoms of real consciousness, symptoms of real love. I'll tell you a true story. I know of a man in America, came from a royal family in Egypt. And, I don't know, in his 20s, he came to America to seek his fortune. And he went to Harvard University, got a PhD. And later he went to Princeton University and got a second PhD. These are very prestigious schools. He started a business and he became a multimillionaire. He married a nice Egyptian girl. He was an American citizen. And then one day his wife became pregnant and he was very happy. And he decided, my son will be the President of the United States of America someday. He was thinking like that. But then, when they did some ultrasound, he was very surprised to find out it was a girl. So then he decided, my little girl, she'll be the first lady president in the United States of America. And so he raised that little girl up, as we say in America, with a silver spoon in her mouth. And she had the best education, the best tutors, the best clothing. And when she was a young girl of 16 or something, he bought her a car. And he took care of her in so many ways. And then she graduated from high school. And she went to the university, a very good university. And she was going to school, getting good grades. She was the hope of her father, who doted on her and loved her like anything. And then one day, his darling little girl came home. And she said, Dad, I met some really nice people at school today. And they gave me this book, Bhagavad Gita As It Is. Nice book. Huh? And she started reading that. And a few days later, she came to her father again and she said, Dad, I want to join the Hare Krishnas. Now this is his darling little girl that he loves so much. What did he say to her? I hate you. You're not my daughter anymore. This is the so-called love in the material world. It's paitaki and it's patiyata. It has a motivation. Because upadis, designations, along with those designations, along with that material love, comes a concept. I love you as long as you agree to follow my rules. As long as you agree to be what I want you to be. And therefore, children in this world, they become very frustrated because they can't pick on anyone. They can't control their life. They're being controlled by everyone else. And they go to the supermarket and they want a piece of candy. But they can't have it. Their mother won't give them. So they start screaming and crying. And therefore, children, they like to have toys. And sometimes they like to break those toys. I know one devotee in America, before she became a devotee, she was like a punk rocker. And she had a teddy bear. And she used to take the teddy bear to school. And this teddy bear had all kinds of pins and thorns and things stuck in it in different places. So sometimes children are like that. They want to torture some little toy so they can control it. Because upadis means you belong to me. And upadis indicate fear and violence. Bayan dvitiya vinivesita shad isharupitashya vipariyo smiti tanmaya tato. It's said in 11th canto Bhagavatam that baya, fear, comes from duality, seeing something separate from Krishna. And from that comes some upadi, some designation. I think I'm this thing. I think I'm that thing. But Jagananda Pandit says, E rupa samsar brahmiti konjan. While wandering about in the universe is shopping malls where we're buying identities off the rack. If by good fortune, sadhu sangha nija tata avagata nahan, we come in contact with a devotee who gives us a Bhagavad Gita, the science of self-realization, and we understand something about who I am, then our life changes. Nijatattva janiya samsara nishaya nirubhava jivam. Johnny are, when they understand who they are. I'm not a beautiful girl. I'm not a businessman. I'm not a rich person. I'm not a poor person. I'm a devotee of Krishna. At that time, hoy, hoy, they begin to lament. Why have I served Maya for so long? And then, their spiritual life really begins. This is Atma Krandana, the crying of the soul. Can they bole, oh, hey, Krishna, Amitabha, Tomara, Chirani, Chari, Prabhasari, Asbolo. This is the beginning of your spiritual life, not just life membership, not just coming to the temple, or IYF, or I have neck beads on. See, I'm a devotee. You can't fool me. I joined in Los Angeles. We have a gift shop there. They don't do so much business. But every year, about the second week or so of October, they sell so many dhotis and so many kurtas, so many saris, because people are getting ready for Halloween. And so many non-devotees, they come to the temple and they dress up like that. And every year in Los Angeles, still going on today, I hope, they have a Maha Harinam on Hollywood Boulevard. And hundreds of devotees go and they chant. And every year, we meet some of the same people who came to the temple to buy those saris and dhotis. Only now they're drunk. And they're dressed up like Hare Krishna devotees. And when they see the devotees chanting in the kirtan, this drunk person looks like Hare Krishna. He starts also coming and dancing in the kirtan. When I first joined the temple in 1982, Madhua Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, told me a story. He said, this is a true story. He said that during the Vietnam War, there were so many people joining the Hare Krishna movement. And by that, they were avoiding the draft. They were avoiding having to go in the army and go to Vietnam to fight. They said, I'm a conscientious objector. In my religion, I'm a vegetarian. I'm a peaceful person. I can't fight. And so they were getting out of going to war. The FBI became suspicious. What is this Hare Krishna movement? Who are these people? Is it something bona fide? So they sent a spy to the Honolulu temple. And he went to the Sunday program. And everybody was chanting, and he was kind of chanting also. And then they sat down and were taking prasadam. Some devotee sat next to him. And he started telling the devotee, yeah, you know, I really like what you guys are doing. You know, this is really good. And how do you join anyway? And the devotee said, well, you can just move into the temple and we'll give you a dhoti and a kurta. And I'd like that. So they shaved his head the next day. And he started going to Mangal Arati every day. And he was wearing a dhoti and kurta and kunti mala and tilak. And he lasted maybe a week. And then one night he opened the window and crawled out the window and snuck away. And he went back to the FBI and he made his report. And he said, these guys are crazy. It's worse than the army. In the army, you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But these guys wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And they make you take a cold shower. And you can't have a girlfriend. And no television and no movies and no hamburgers. These guys are crazy. It's worse than the army. So that person looked like a Hare Krishna devotee. But there's something more to it. It's not just that we adopt a costume. And I think the costume is important. I like to wear a dhoti and kurta. We were in about 12 different countries this last year, traveling and giving classes. And I didn't even have a pair of Western clothes with me. We just wear dhoti and kurta wherever we go. I like it. People come up to me and they ask me questions about the philosophy. It protects me. But it doesn't mean that you're a devotee just because you dress like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says that wearing the symbols of a devotee, Tilak and Kunti Mal and other things, are beneficial for devotion. He says, but if someone thinks that those external marks mean someone is a devotee, then that is sectarianism. Because a devotee may not have tilak on. He may not wear a dhoti, a kurta, or a sari. It's not that Krishna, look, he's wearing a dhoti. He's my devotee. Yes. Krishna's not convinced by that. Krishna doesn't really care how much money you give. Or even if you're living in the temple, like our friend with the FBI. It's not enough. Our spiritual life begins with Atma Krandana. I had an interesting experience a few years ago. We were in Switzerland, Zurich. And as we were going around sometimes to different programs, I saw posters advertising one blues singer from America. Her name was Natalie Cole. I don't think any of you know about her. It's not so important. She's the daughter of a famous blues jazz singer named Nat King Cole. And I saw the poster and somehow I was thinking to myself, well, this is nice. She's doing something artistic, making people think. I didn't go to the concert or anything. But then we got on the plane. We were flying from, this is in Hungary, in Budapest. And we were flying from Budapest to Zurich. And when I got on the plane, some guy came and sat down next to me. And I looked at him and I thought, definitely he's from America. I can tell. And I asked him, I said, what's your name? What do you do? I'm in a dhoti and kurta. And he said, oh, my name is such and such. I'm a piano player. He had a PhD in piano. And he was teaching in the university. He says, but during the summer, I travel with Natalie Cole. And I play in her band. I said, really? Well, I saw your posters. Look pretty cool. He said, yeah, there's Natalie up there. He pointed a few seats up. And the drummer's over here. And that's the bass player. And that's the guitar player. And the whole band was there on the plane. And we started talking. And I said, you know, I think music is really cool. In the material world, I told him, I think music is the closest thing you can come to bhakti or devotion. They both have a lot in common. They both should be done for the sake of themselves. You should do art for the sake of art. And you do bhakti for the sake of bhakti. And if you do something for money, then it's considered you're selling out. It's not really bhakti. It's not really art. And we were speaking some things like that. And he became really excited. He said, wow, I want to stay in touch with you. This is really good. And we exchanged email addresses. And then I got off the plane and I thought, I'd like to give him a magazine. We have our Krishna Kathamrita magazine. And I went and got my bag off the luggage department. And I pulled a magazine out, but then I couldn't find him anywhere. But I looked around and I saw Natalie Cole there. She's a very famous musician. So I'm a little bit of a bold person. I'm dressed like a Hare Krishna devotee. I just walked over to her and I said, excuse me, are you Natalie Cole? And she, some Hare Krishna person walking up to you, like, she took a step back and she said, yes. And I reached over and I grabbed her hands. And I said, I just want to thank you. You're doing such a nice thing. You're doing such good music and art and you're making people think. And I met your piano player and he's really a good guy. And I just wanted to give you a gift. This is one of our magazines. And she said, well, thank you. That's so nice. And she said, what are you doing here in Switzerland? I was going there to give a seminar about Patit Pavan Jagannath. Now I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to tell this woman about Patit Pavan Jagannath? So I told her, I said, well, I'm coming to do a seminar. She said, oh, what's the subject? And I thought for a moment and I said, the crying of the soul. And she said, wow, that's really deep. I like that. So people, they're attracted by that. And this is really our movement. Kende boli ohe Krishna Amitabha Das. Tomara Charanachari Hoyla Sarvanas. This is the purpose of our movement. To teach people to cry for Krishna. Not just to open temples. Not just to collect money. Not just to sell books. But to give people an opportunity to understand who they are. To help people to come to the beginning of real spiritual life, which means Atma Krandana, the crying of the soul. In the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, Gatvacha mamana mari rudanti mama sanido tesha maham parikrito nanyat krito janardanaha. He says, Arjun, I'll kind of give a little Bhavuk translation for this. He said, I don't belong to the Christians. I don't belong to the Muslims. I don't belong to the Jews. I don't belong to the Buddhists. I don't belong to the Hindus. I hope I don't get in trouble saying this, but I don't belong to the Hare Krishnas. He said, who do I belong to? I belong to that person who's chanting my names and crying for me. This is Srila Prabhupada's concept about ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada, in many different places, he said, on the cover of the record album for the Hare Krishna mantra, when Prabhupada was explaining the Maha Mantra to the newest people, he said, this chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and His internal energy, Hara, for giving protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother. Prabhupada in Nectar of Devotion, he says, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular service. Srila Prabhupada wrote one letter, I think it was to a Prime Minister of Canada, and Prabhupada said, this ISKCON movement is open to people of all religions. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Christian. You can be a Buddhist. And you can be a member of this movement. He said, our movement is a non-sectarian movement. We don't care what religion you come from. And he said, you can keep your religion. In Ukraine, in Kiev, the devotees are doing Harinam one day. And they saw there was an Orthodox priest standing and watching them. Now, if you know something about Ukraine and Russia, those Orthodox priests are not very friendly to the devotees. They've attacked devotees sometimes to hurt them. This man was watching and he was very curious. And he came over to the devotees and he said, what is this all about? The devotees said, well, take a book. Read about it. And the priest took a book. A few days later, he came to the temple. He said, this is amazing. I'd like to practice this. He started coming to the temple regularly and chanting Hare Krishna. And he would come in his Orthodox robes. He became a Hare Krishna devotee. He started chanting 16 rounds every day on his beads. But he never gave up his duties as an Orthodox priest. He was still doing Mass every Sunday in the church. Still wearing his robes. Still giving communion and the different things they do in their church. One day he had a pain in his body, so he went to the doctor. They did some tests. The doctor came back and he said, sorry, bad news. You have cancer and you only have about another week or two to live. And so what did he do? He went to the Hare Krishna temple. And he told the devotees, please, can I stay here? Can I be with you? And he was there at the temple, lying in his bed when he died. And the devotees were surrounding his bed, chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the Hare Krishna movement. We're not coming to give another religion. We're coming to teach people the science of Atma Krandana, the crying of the soul. We should understand what this crying is. Sometimes we cry, I lost my girlfriend. I lost my last six girlfriends. They all left me. I'll join the Hare Krishnas. We think like that. And we cry. We cry because we lost our money. Because we lost our girlfriend. We lost our wife, our husband, our child. Once there was a mother who had two children. She had a little baby who was like 6 months old. And she had another boy who was 6 years old. And one day, some guests were coming to the home. And she had to cook dinner for them. But it was very difficult for her. Because the little baby kept crying. And she had to stop cooking and keep going to the baby. She was by herself. finally, she called for her six-year-old boy. She gave him a little money. She told him, go downstairs, and there's a shop there, and you buy a toy, and bring the toy back. Yes, mother. So he went down, and he bought this little toy. It was a very nice toy. It was red. And when you squeeze it, it made a little squeaking noise. And she gave the toy to the baby. And the baby stopped crying. And she started cooking. But then after a little while, the baby started crying again. And then the mother came, and again she gave the baby the toy. The toy had some little bells on it also. And you shake it, and the bells would ring. And the baby, oh, very nice. And he stopped crying. And the mother went back and started cooking again. And every time the baby would cry, she would come back and give him the toy. And this went on for like an hour or so. And after an hour or so, the baby became really frustrated. And he started screaming. And he took the toy and he threw the toy. And every mother knows the particular cry of the child. This cry means, I don't want the toy anymore. I want you. And she had to stop cooking and come to the baby. And the toy wouldn't pacify the baby anymore. So sometimes we cry for Krishna. We feel really bad. Oh, Krishna, please let me be a devotee. And then someone comes and they give us a new cell phone. Oh, it's a nice cell phone. I have the folio on it. And I can go on Facebook on it. And it's such a nice toy. I forget all about crying. And then after some time, I again cry for Krishna. And then someone comes and gives me a new Macintosh computer. Oh, very good. And I'm very happy with it. I have computer games and so many things. And I forget about my problems. But then again, after some time, the computer doesn't really satisfy me. And then one day, I meet her at the shopping mall. And it's true love. And I'm going to solve all my problems. Because she's the real one. And I have a new toy, a girlfriend toy. And so this is how we spend our life, with so many cell phone toys and computer toys, and girlfriend, boyfriend, baby toys. And we forget about crying for Krishna. But if Krishna's really kind to you, if he really gives his mercy, he says, Yeshaham anugrinami harishita dhanam shanaitato dhanam tvajanjasha svajana dukha dukitam. Then I take away all your toys and I really make your life hellish. I make you suffer like anything. Take all your money away and nobody wants you anymore. And then what do you do at that point? Svajana dukha dukitam. Krishna says, that's not enough. It's not enough just so you lose everything. Otherwise, every person on the street who had no money, he would be a sadhu. But that's not enough. That's not completely Krishna's mercy. But Krishna in the next verse says, that at that time they make friends with my devotees. And you find out who really is your devotee friend. I've seen sometimes in our temples, don't mind me saying this, I'm speaking very frankly. I've seen devotees who collect lots of money and they're the hero of the temple and everyone loves them. And then after a few years, they decide to get married and they stop giving money. And then in some places I've seen, then the devotees don't give a damn about them because they're not giving money anymore. So Krishna in this verse, he says, you can understand who's your real friend. At that time, when you have no money, who's really a devotee? Because the real devotees, they'll love you. They don't care how much money you have. They don't care what kind of position you have. They look to see how serious you are about your Krishna bhajan. And Krishna says, that's my real mercy. A similar point is made by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Paramatma Sandarbha, Anucheda 93. He says, Yatu bhaktanam sukam tatasya bhakti rupam eva tatatesham dukam cha bhagavat prapti antarayane aiva bhavati tatya bhagavat eva chittar drita jayate sacha bhakti eviti. Sometimes we wonder, hey, why is this happening to me? It's not fair. I'm a devotee. I'm chanting. Why is my wife leaving me? My husband leaving me? Why am I losing my job? It's not supposed to happen to me. I'm a devotee. That's supposed to happen to other people. Krishna's going to take care of his devotees. I'm chanting 16 rounds a day. I'm giving money. These things shouldn't happen to me. Jiva Goswami describes why bad things happen sometimes to good people. He says when there's some separation, when there's some problem in our life, your wife runs away with your best friend and you start crying. And not only is that a disturbance, but it's a disturbance because you can't chant. You can't think of Krishna. And that makes you even more miserable. All you're thinking about is that bag of stool and urine that you call the wife. And now you're lamenting and you can't think about Krishna. So Jiva Goswami says that bhakti brings happiness to devotees. And when there's some obstacle, tatatisham dukkam cha, bhagavat prapyantarayanaiva bhavati, when there's some obstacle to coming to Krishna, then that brings us great unhappiness. And then the devotee begins to cry. And something happens at that time. Chatra bhagavatyeva chittar drutta jayate. Chittar drutta jayate means at that time when Krishna sees my devotee is suffering so much, he's crying. But he's not giving up chanting. He's not giving up being a devotee. At that time, chitta drutta jayate, Krishna's heart melts. And satcha bhaktir avati, this is how bhakti comes. It's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana eva mrikitam dipakam ritvad vapubir vidadan namaste jiveta yomukti padesa dayabak. Whatever bad thing happens, it's my fault. I'm not going to stop my bhakti. I'm not going to give it up. We have to stop blaming everyone else. We're blaming the KGB and the USA and the CIA and the GBC and the temple president and my husband and my wife. And I'd be able to chant, but this devotee, he causes me so much trouble. It's not my fault. I'd like to do my bhajan, but the CIA, they're spying on me. Or the GBC is harassing me. You're not beginning your bhajan. Our beginning of our bhajan means, Kende boli, oh hey Krishna, Amitabha Das. I'm crying to Krishna. And no one, not the CIA, or the KGB, or the GBC, or anyone, can stop you from crying to Krishna. And we should accept the environment is friendly. Whatever situation has come, it's Krishna's arrangement. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing for my bhakti. Let me accept that. I didn't notice we're so late. I'm very sorry. So we'll stop there. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo. Vancha Kalpadarubhischa. Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So I'm sorry we went so long. I was going to give time for questions. If anybody has any questions, you can come and speak to me. If you need to go for prasadam or service, please do that. We don't want to create a disturbance. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. And we also want to thank very much all the devotees here for being so loving to us. I've learned so much from all of you. You're all very, very special, wonderful souls. You please bless us.